So it's Wednesday. We've got Josh here. We've got Bex in as well. I've got to ask you a question, Bex, straight off the bat. We had a conversation off air about sex and so on and so forth. There was something that I saw last week. I commented on it. My wife said, don't be so ridiculous. It was Prince... who's the prince that went down in New Zealand and Australia
Andrew?
Way?
No, Harry.
Harry, Prince Harry.
Yeah.
He's gone into the crowd. He's shaken a few hands.
Yeah.
And this girl, obviously, she wanted to kiss him.
Yeah.
And she made a pass at him.
Yeah.
And she tried to kiss him on the lips. Did you see that? She tried to grab him and kiss him on... and I said... That just say, for instance, if that was the other way round, there'd be a problem.
Yeah.
If that was the other way round, there'd be an issue. Take the prince thing out of it. Just say, for instance, you go shopping and somebody that you don't know makes a play for you and tries to kiss you.
Yeah.
And I just look at that and think, okay, they kind of brushed over it. It's the prince and nothing really happened. But...
Yeah.
I just think, if that was the other way around, they'd have a field day with it, wouldn't they?
It's got to cut both ways, hasn't it?
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
If it's not acceptable for a man to treat a woman in a certain way, it's certainly not acceptable for a woman to treat the man in that way as well.
Definitely.
You know,
it works both ways.
It does, you know, we're all human beings with bodies. We should be able to choose who and how we want to behave with them.
I just think it's fascinating that we as people see something that is acceptable...
Mm.
Because it's so-and-so, and in a situation, but it's that same thing, different people, and then people will say, hang on a minute, you just tried to kiss me. That's, what would they call that? What would be the, you know, the sexual harassment?
I guess so. I mean, if someone tries to kiss you and you say no, and then they try again, then it's sexual harassment, you know, for sure. But he did agree to kiss her on the cheek. I think she just tried to up the ante, didn't she?
She did. I mean, and there'll be an element of, oh, good on her, she's only trying to kiss the prince. What are you going on about,
Mac? Yeah, but then if she'd stuck her tongue down his throat, we'd all have gone, ooh, that's disgusting, you know, and vice versa, wouldn't we?
Would you have gone, ooh, that's disgusting, Josh? Being that kiss chase champion?
That's the prince, isn't it? That's something to boast about, isn't it? Oh, I kissed the prince.
And slipped him the tongue. Yeah, but that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is, hang on a minute, you know, that could be deemed offensive. It's you know, do you know what I mean? If that had happened to you while shopping, somebody had tried to kiss you on the lips like that. I mean, you know,
you could say that's a completely different scenario as to the prince,
because he was giving consent to kiss her
on the cheek. Yeah,
yeah, but did he say only on the cheek?
I think so. I don't know, but he soon got out of there, didn't he?
Yeah.
He didn't like it.
Well, I don't think I'd like strangers trying to snog me.
See, now you're doing that thing. You can't say this in radio, but you've screwed your face up. So I kind of think, well, you know, there is that element of, and we're doing it here. We're saying, oh, well, that seems to be all right then. But it's not really, is it?
I do think men get a bit of a rough end of the deal with stuff like this, actually.
Yeah.
You know, what would be deemed totally awful if a man did it to a woman is somehow laughable when a woman does it to a man.
Yeah.
And that, I don't think, is okay at all.
No, that's half of the reason why I wanted to bring it up, because we were talking about, you know, sexuality and age, and there's so many things that we've been chatting about today. Lunchtime social debate. I know we wanted to talk about legal highs and TV habits, but as ever, I don't think we're going to get around to talking about it. Hi, who's this?
Hello, mate.
Hello, Keith.
Hello, Bex. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Hello, Josh.
Hello.
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 How are you, mate?
I'm good, thank you.
Right, mate, you okay?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. You?
Good, good. Yeah, not too bad at all, thank you.
Good.
Ian, she was lucky not to get tasered.
Really?
Well, think of the security risk.
What, by kissing a prince?
Yeah.
What, he might go into a fog?
No, I'm just saying, you know, you don't know, she got a terrorist.
Oh, don't be daft.
That's a bit too far.
Was she frisked or searched?
Well, that might have been completely inappropriate.
In actual fact, you bring up quite an interesting point. Because I remember working at another radio station, and we had a guy called Tom Clifton working for us.
That's right, I know Tom, yeah.
Lovely fella, Tom. We used to do the newsroom. And they used to have three newsreaders, and two of them did everything by the book. And he was slightly off the wall, was Tom. Very polite, very, very polite, very posh, and a really, really decent all-round bloke. okay, the Queen came to the island, and he broke protocol by not jumping out, like leaping out. He just stepped out in front of her and asked her a simple question that would, you know, require a yes or no answer. I think it was something along the lines of, are you enjoying being on the Isle of Wight again, ma'am?
Yeah.
And he was oiked out of it.
Really?
It broke protocol because you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to jump and
By security?
Yeah.
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 Well, it's the same with, like you say, Harry, that's a chopper boy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't able to say, he was based over here at Middle Wallopbecks, and he did his training over here, and you could guarantee when my son was working in the co-op, if he come in the co-op, you know, there was two or three burly-looking men in suits walking around about 10 feet behind him. So they're there, you know, where were they on that day then?
I don't know, but do you remember years ago when his dad, he was the one that started this, do you remember? We used to do the walkabouts and kiss loads of women and stuff like that. You know, and everybody used to shout, Charlie is my darling, and all that kind of malarkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, going into the conspiracy theory, what's to say that she, you know, she wasn't some sort of terrorist and she had some poisonous lipstick on or something? That's why she's trying to kiss him on the lips, because, you know, it would actually have gone into his mouth.
That'd make a great film, wouldn't it?
This sounds a bit like Batman.
But it's possible. Didn't they? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You had the spies over here killing blinking MPs or something. But
yeah, but Keith...
Daggers that come out of suitcase or out of boots, didn't they?
Keith, logically, if someone's wearing poisonous lipstick that would kill someone if they kissed them, wouldn't it kill the person who had the lipstick on?
Not if they got a base coat on, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Not only that,
he's thought about this.
Not only that, you got suicide bombers, haven't you?
Yeah,
kissers now.
Not being funny, she could quite easily have done that, then disappeared into the crowd. Nobody would ever seen her again.
Yeah, no, I think you make a valid point.
All this just because of a kiss.
All this over a kiss,
well, yeah,
Josh.
But it's because you started of his position. You know, he's the future king of England, isn't he?
Is he fourth?
I think he's fifth now.
Is he fifth?
Yeah.
But no,
he's still fourth.
No, he is fifth. Because it's Charlie, William...
Then the two...
The two babies, and then him. Aaron, you're quite right.
So he's fifth now.
He's fifth,
fallen down.
Yep. You know, because isn't that right, they don't all fly on the same plane or something?
That's the room,
They shouldn't all kiss the same woman, then.
Well, I know it sounds daft, but it's perfectly feasible.
Yeah, but do you know what? Should he spend his life living in fear?
No.
You know,
well, I didn't
and
say it's fear. I'm just saying that, you know, it's possible, isn't it?
I guess anything's possible.
Oh, crikey, yeah.
Isn't it?
Well, we had Princess Anne back in the 70s was chased through the Chess Valley, look.
Yeah.
Don't know who it was.
And do you remember when the Queen got shot at?
Shat at?
Shot.
Sorry, it's the phone.
Bad. Bad
naughty.
Boy.
Yeah.
Keith.
Naughty.
Yeah, we were.
Naughty corner.
No, send me to the tower. I'll have one of those in the Solent there. That one has just been done up as a hotel. That'll do.
Yeah. All right.
But saying that, like I said, you know, it's perfectly feasible. It's perfectly possible.
Do you know, I think the trouble is, you know, let's face it, in spite of all the security hoo-ha, that if somebody is really determined to do damage, they can do damage.
Have you seen the T-Mobile video? Is it T-Mobile?
Which
one? The royal family, all dancing and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. Love them.
That is clever.
Love them.
That is clever, because I think Prince Harry shared it, didn't he?
Did he?
I think so.
Well, good on him.
I think that's where it came from, anyway, off of his... not that I'm friends with him.
I have to say, I think he's a lot more charismatic than his brother.
He's a lot more sociable.
Yeah.
Well, he's younger,
isn't he? He's in the co-op. He's
married, got two kids. That's what happens to people, isn't it? When you get married and have two kids...
Yeah, it's the end of your life.
That's it. You wait till he has kids, he'll be the same.
I don't think he will.
Yeah, when he came in the shop over there, Alex said that he was always, you know, a perfect gent, and always asked about, you know, how people were and things like that, you know, and that sort of thing.
Interesting, isn't it?
So it's just, you know, the way things are.
Thanks for your call, Keith.
All right, mate.
Cheers now.
All the best.
And you. Bye. Interesting. Yeah, but it happens. You just imagine it. If you wind the clock back and that had happened, you'd be now thinking, well, it's not impossible, is it?
Yeah, but you know what? If I had seriously poisonous something on me, I wouldn't put it on my lips. I'd have it in my hand. So when you put your hand around their neck to give you a kiss, that's how you deliver it. Because by putting it on your lips, you're not, the chance of getting to snog a prince on the lips is pretty remote, isn't it? So it's a bit like, you know... Please don't arrest me, anyone. But if I was wanting to do a terrorist thing, I wouldn't be walking through an airport with something in my suitcase. I'd have been working in the airport for 10 years, building up trust.
Yeah, you see,
I can't say I've thought about any of this.
I thought about, as an insomniac, there's major things I think about all the time.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Because you suddenly think, because you watch the programme sometimes, and not because the wife and I have fallen out or anything like that, but you just started thinking, how could you do, where would you put the body? Right, okay. So you'd have to get some plastic, roll out some plastic, vacuum seal it.
I'd just chop them up and stick it in the rubbish.
Well, I was thinking about this the other day. Put it in the rubbish, or do you get one of those machines that will just mangle it and just shove it down the plug hole?
I'd chop it up, right? Not that I thought. First of all, I'd use either an icicle or a frozen piece of meat that I could cook afterwards, so that I'd eat the weapon. And then I'd chop him up, stick him in loads of bin bags, and go out the dump.
So.
I'm really scared.
Okay. Hi, Simon, I love you. Yeah.
You're right around that side of the desk, are you?
I'm going to go home. My husband's going to change the look.
Still getting on, are you? I've got to go now, he says.
We had some friends around on Saturday night, and we were talking about it. How would you do the perfect murder? And we pretty much decided that's the way we'd do it.
Yeah, but the thing is, whatever you do now, you would be on film somewhere at some time, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd be shown obviously at the dump, wouldn't you? You'd have to go in fancy dressing and.
But then you're in the car. See, I'm one step ahead, maybe, but you'll catch up, I'm sure.
I've got a boat though, so I'll go to the boat.
Yeah.
And hoof him over the side.
Yeah, hoof him over the side.
The boat,
yeah,
sailing.
But the trouble is, when you go to that boat, there's going to be a record of you travelling to the boat in your car.
Yeah.
So the chances of you getting away with it. And us, and Josh now thinking
about
it.
Well, having discussed it on radio now, the chance of getting...
Well, you'd have to lay low for a couple of years, wouldn't you? You'd have to lay low, but then could you actually get away with it? Would you actually get away with it? The chances of you doing it are pretty remote at a quiet time. Because we would be thinking, how do we dispose of the body? It'll have to be at night when nobody will see us, where the camera will see you.
No, so, I think you'd have to do it in the day. So, I think you'd have to be completely...
So busy. Yeah. So somebody with some dodgy lip gloss in a crowd of people is not going to be, suspicious, is it?
No.
Then somebody at night, 4 o'clock in the morning, what are you doing out late? You know, what's going on here?
The last thing you would want to do is act like a guilty person, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
So to me, I just go on a Sunday afternoon as I normally do to the dump.
Sunday afternoon.
Oh,
but now you've just told us that's what you do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, let's face it, if my husband ever cocked it, which he won't, I'd be the first one to be suspected.
All this from an innocent kiss for a princess. Exactly. Or for a prince.
He said to me yesterday, because rhubarb leaves are poisonous. And he went to me, you do know rhubarb leaves are poisonous. I went, oh, yes.
Wow.
Salad?
Right, okay, that's a worry. Mm. Don't ever have salad without having an exit party. Yeah. More salad. No, that should be enough.
Salad doesn't really poison anybody.
It's an interesting one.
It is.
There you go, there's a debate in itself.
I do wonder, because I don't know what the statistics are. Because, when they say, people just disappear. And they say, you could report them as a missing person.
Mm.
You know, how many of those missing person are in their local dump?
Do you know what's really worrying is that the fact that we've actually thought about it,
yeah.
But not, and I don't mean not in a nasty kind of, oh, we want to do away with people and so on and so forth. You kind of have your mindset of could you actually get away with it in this day and age? Because possibly when you're watching a film or a program when somebody's committed a murder and how they track it all down and so on and so forth, you're kind of questioning how did they find that out and so on and so forth. So you kind of start putting yourself in those circumstances where, okay, so you've done your wife in. How are you going to get rid of the body? Where are you going to put the body? Because the minute she doesn't turn up for work, there's a phone call.
Mm.
What's going on?
Mm.
A couple of days later, maybe the family would be on the phone saying, I haven't seen so-and-so for, can we speak to her? You can't. She's left me. I've taken it one step too many, maybe. I am only joking. This is tongue-in-cheek. But you start, because you're watching it on the TV, you put yourself in that same kind of scenario, how are you going to get away with it?
Yeah, and you watch these things and you think, oh, that was they made a mistake there, what they should have done, yeah. So-and-so, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, what they should have done was... And then you think, well, hang on a minute, I know what they've got to do. Well, that makes me pretty bad, doesn't it?
I don't think so. Because I think, you know, there is that question, you know, how would you do the perfect crime, isn't there? How would you do the perfect murder, the perfect jewellery heist, you know, all that kind of thing. Yeah. I mean, a friend of mine who was married to an inspector of the police, we used to spend many evenings trying to... Because what she said to me, if you are going to commit a crime, you need to... For money, you know, like a burglary, you have to make it huge so you never have to do it again, and you have to make sure that you've never been fingerprinted or something, because it makes you quite difficult to find.
Yeah,
you could only do it once. So no, don't go shoplifting in Lidl or something. You know, it's like
you want to aim for a bank straight away.
You want
away.
The crown jewels or something, you know.
But wouldn't you want experience to then work up to a bank?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, look at all those safety deposit boxes over Easter that were...
He's starting to get into it now, isn't
he? Yeah.
Wouldn't you need a bit of experience? You're starting to think about it now.
You two have gone too much depth.
His mum and dad would be saying to him, you've corrupted my boy. He's only been with you a day.
But, you know, when I read people like Stephen King, you know, the most hideous, horrible things, you think, I don't think I'd want to live with him. You know, that kind of imagination of... for horror and nastiness and torture and cruelty.
Do you think, here's a question, do you think because we're talking about it, that puts us on a level that maybe we shouldn't be? Or is it just, you know, everyone has those thoughts at some point? Or have we just got inquisitive minds and maybe we should write books?
Or are we double bluffing and really serial killers?
Don't do that, because that's scary. That really is scary. Josh, can I come around and sit with you?
I think the fact we're talking about it so openly would indicate that we're probably not very...
Yeah, but is it a double bluff?
Well, it could be, couldn't it?
That's the thing.
Oh, cool, wouldn't that be brilliant?
Yeah.
But it's all right thinking about what you would do with the body, but how would you kill someone? I don't know if I could do that.
Well, that's a good thing.
As a nurse,
that's
one of the best ways, that. I think, is to do an injection of air into the vein. That's usually pretty good.
Yeah,
embolism.
I started watching a programme called Fargo very recently. It was a movie, and that may have been a book as well.
Yeah.
And I could only stomach one episode because it was... who's the guy that was... He was in Sherlock, but he was the sidekick.
Martin Freeman.
But he had this dreadful American accent,
and it
was horrible. It was just, I couldn't stand it any longer. But he was this downtrodden bloke, and his wife was horrible. Everyone was horrible to him. They bullied him. And one day he came home from work, and his wife was nag 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 nag. And he picked up a hammer and he hit her over the head with it, and all this blood gushed out and so on. And he just thought, right, okay. How are you going to get rid of the body? And it just led from... And then something else, another crime happened in the house. He called this bloke and got him to help him. And the bloke didn't help him at all. He killed the policeman that came looking for someone. And then it all... And then he started thinking... And I'd wish that I'd carried on watching it, but the only reason why I couldn't watch it because I couldn't stomach his American accent in it. I'm guessing it all led on from there. How did he get away with that? How did so-and-so get away with that? They walked away. There was his body with all the blood and so on and so forth. Yeah. And you think to yourself, well... My stepdad once said to me, and he was a lovely bloke. It might, when I say what he said, people might think, well, he wasn't that lovely then, was he? He said, everyone is capable of murder, Josh. He didn't actually say, everyone is capable of murder, Josh. He said, everyone is capable of murder. I'm just firing that at you, because you say, oh, I don't think I could do that. I think, personally, it's in us all. If somebody pushed our buttons, we might not mean to... hit them that hard over the head with a hammer, but we're angry enough to do
it.
I
think if you got angry enough to do it, then yeah.
As a mum, if someone had hurt or abused my children, I wouldn't have had much compunction about doing what I could to eradicate them.
There you go. So everyone is capable of it.
What do you think about, you know, when you're in the army or something like that, you kind of have to sometimes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course we all are capable. I think we'd be liars if we said we weren't.
So, I mean, there are three potential killers in this room.
Well, there's 7 billion of them on this planet.
Well, yeah, but there's only three in this room.
And only two of us are leaving.
We're playing Cluedo.
Yeah.
But it is interesting that we find ourselves talking about it and talking about someone's come to the window and held out another finger
in a very scary looking way.
Yeah. Like, here's Johnny. Interesting. All of this conversation stemmed from a kiss for a prince.
And now we've gone into serial killing. Never eating Weetabix again.
Interesting. Very, very. Now, we want to talk about legal highs. We also want to talk about TV habits as well.
Mm.
So, you know, TV habits. I mean, we'll stay on that because we kind of touched on the TV thing. So, you know, I believe our habits are changing quite a lot. I'm going to talk about not politics, but something that happened last week. Because he now has a different cabinet now, doesn't he, David Cameron?
Mm.
And they're saying that one of the guys that he's put in place in the cabinet doesn't like the BBC.
Right.
Because I do believe that there isn't... To me, there's a problem with the BBC that should be not eradicated. They should solve the issue. The issue is a TV licence.
Yeah.
Because not only... the TV license, you kind of pay for it too many times because we're watching different ways, Sky and BT and so on, and Freeview. So how the hell can it be Freeview? But we are, you know, watching TV in a different way. I don't want to talk about the license fee now, but the habit thing. I just want to highlight that. I wonder whether that guy's been brought in to assess everything, because you mentioned you watch Amazon Prime.
Yes,
Amazon Prime. So you've got one of the super duper TVs that has the internet TV. Yeah. Now we've got an internet TV, but it's one of those internet TVs that didn't have the app on it for Amazon Prime. So we had to go and buy a little box for it.
Yeah.
And it was about £80 odd, but they're brilliant boxes. And there's so much stuff on it. There's stuff that you can buy, but just by paying a year's subscription, you get so much stuff that is free, and you watch with Amazon Prime. But there's so many things. It's just a great piece of kit, but you don't actually watch live TV.
No.
Which I think most people that watch live TV are probably watching the news.
Or sport,
that's a good point. Sport is something that, you know, you want to watch there and then, otherwise somebody will tell you the result.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, our habits are changing massively. When was the last time, Josh, you watched live TV?
What, it was actually live?
Live TV, yeah.
Probably last night for 5 minutes.
For 5 minutes?
Yeah.
And what did you watch?
It was football.
It's football, all right. Yeah. Okay.
That was about it. I don't really. I've got like Netflix and the internet, so if I miss something on TV that I wanted to watch, I'll watch it, you know, later at night because I can. It's on the internet.
Yeah.
See, it's changed dramatically, isn't it?
I think, you know, live events. You know, I think the last time I watched live TV was the election.
Yeah.
Which you watch pretty much all night. But my husband watches sport, cricket, rugby, but mostly we just do catch up or we put, you know. I say tape it, record it on Skybox or something.
So you use the terminology that I would, because we're of the same age.
Yeah.
We tape it still, don't we? There ain't a tape in the house.
No.
But we tape everything.
Well, I think it's going to get to the point now where even things like DVDs aren't going to be, you know, needed anymore.
I still buy a lot of DVDs.
Yeah, I do. I've got like all the classic things I love to watch. You know, my classic films, classic book sets and things. You know,
do you ever think? Because when you're surrounded by all these things, you think, well, do you know what? A couple of clicks and I can be watching it anyway. I don't even have to get it off the shelf.
Exactly.
What am I going to do with it?
I did that yesterday. Actually, I thought, oh, I want to watch a film. I know I've got it on DVD. I was like, I don't know if I can bother to get it off the shelf. How awful is that?
The thing is, it is awful.
But I'm probably not the only one, though.
No, exactly. You're not the only one that's doing it. Everyone is doing
it.
Exactly. So does there come a point when you've got a house filled up with DVDs that you think to yourself, well, I'll sell these, make some space?
But the trouble is, you won't get any money for them. I mean, charity shops are full of you know, things like that.
How much do you reckon you get for a DVD now?
£1?
Depends how new it is.
Right, does it?
Well, if you've just bought it and you've watched it, didn't like it, and you want to get rid of it, then you probably get like just below brand new price.
Right.
But if it's like years old, then
See, I can't.
A couple of quid.
I don't. I mean, I know that every now and again someone will buy me a DVD. Last Christmas, my wife bought me the Lee Evans DVD, the latest one, and I was really, really thankful. And it was. I've watched it a couple of times, and it's fantastic. But there is that element of, well, I wouldn't want too many of these, because otherwise you end up with loads and loads and loads. They're all around your house. And when was the last time you actually watched a DVD? Taking the time and the trouble to take it out of the... I mean, it makes us sound like we're so lazy.
I watched...
I've got to take it off the shelf, I've got to open it up, put it in a machine. Yeah, it takes 30 seconds.
But you see, one of the things I love about DVDs and also catch-up TV is there's no adverts.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
And when I was ill a couple of weeks ago and I had a day kind of lying on the couch and I watched loads and loads of Frasier, because I've got the Frasier box set, and just loved it, you know? And I tend to do DVDs or things that I want to have for posterity, like, you know, real classic films like Wizard of Oz and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, something I can see in years that I'll sit down and watch with my grandchildren, you know, stuff like that. Blackadder.
Do you know what though? I see what you're saying, but in about 10-15 years time, when you're watching it with your grandchildren, they'll be saying to you, DVD.
No,
we can watch it on this thing here that they'll just pull out.
We'll watch it on my iPad 24.
Yeah, they'll probably moan about the resolution it's in. Oh, it's all blurry because we've all got like 4K and stuff.
I'll never forget my son's face when I told him that this LP here goes on there, and I pick up this arm here and I put it across there and play, and it... What? What on that plays? Really? Yeah. Are you
what,
sure?
On a needle? Yeah. Man, that's crazy.
It is crazy, isn't it, to think that that is where we're going. But live TV, the pause live thing, are we the victims of our own, you know, the technology here? Because,
would you say it's a victim, or do you think it's progress?
Well, I think it's progress. I love technology. I think it's awesome.
Don't get me wrong, I love progress as well. But you've just said something incredible, and we all do it, and we probably remember the times when you had the first remotes. The first remote controls you had was on a bit of wire, and it only stretched so far, okay, and so we'd have to sit that close to the TV. Go back just slightly before that, you'd have to get up and you'd have to walk all the way across the lounge there to turn the channel over,
and turn the volume up or down. And,
yeah, you'd have to get up. Now, as that had a knock-on effect with us all, I mean, you look at the way we are with our mobile phones and the technology. And we mentioned earlier on passwords and things and what we've got to remember. Years ago, we used to be able to remember people's telephone numbers, or we'd write them down. I bet you, Bex, that you could probably remember at least half a dozen people's numbers from years ago. You might not remember them now, but at the time, you would know them just like that.
Do you know, I remember our first telephone number on the island. It was Ayrton 264.
Yeah?
There were three. That was it.
Yeah. And I can remember our old number, girlfriend's number at the time, then the future wife's number at the time, and so on. I could rattle those numbers off just like that. And you think, well, if someone gives you a number now, you wouldn't be able to remember it. So is it progress when it was put that way? Because it might be easier.
You can use your phone and just put it in the phone.
Yeah, great.
And if you want to know what their number is, you go, oh, what, so and so, that's their number.
That's fabulous. But if somebody asks you a question, you can't remember it. That's not progress. That's made us lazy. Lazy with our minds.
Things have just become more convenient nowadays, haven't they?
But then we say, is it convenient, or is it just the fact that we just become more lazy?
It does become. My phone is pretty much my brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take away that brain. Just imagine if you took away that.
I don't know. I go to the Hogshead every Thursday and they do that quiz. They do a quiz night.
Right.
And it's surprising what you know, honestly.
Yeah. Maybe because you're not having to think of things like, you know, passwords and numbers and things like that. Maybe it allows you space for general knowledge and taking in other stuff.
Are we just telling ourselves that to make ourselves feel better?
Probably.
Because let's be honest, if you know... I don't know whether it's because we get older and we forget things, or it's just our heads are just full with all this stuff. I mean, to be honest, I think I'm with you. technology is a wonderful, wonderful Love thing, it, yeah. and it is. I mean, when you can say, right, okay, I'm going to push this button here, and all the music is going to be streamed around the house just like that. You know, I can push this here, and I can send an email. I can send a message to someone on the other side
of
the world.
If you want to know someone, you Google it,
and they're going to exactly. You, how many times have you been sat there watching the TV now, and you think, I wonder how old so-and-so is.
I do that and all the time.
We do it all the time. Go on, have a guess. You'll never guess.
So maybe, just maybe, our general knowledge is getting better and better and better.
Yeah, but do we remember those things?
Yeah, of course you do.
I think we do, yeah.
You might not. I bet we don't. Who was the last person you looked up to see how old they were?
I never really bother with that kind of thing.
Not really know how old they are, but...
Go on, when was the last time you looked up? See, this is the thing. I've asked you a question, you can't remember it. Because it's gone.
I wanted to know what the other day, what an oligarchy is. And so I looked that up.
A what?
An oligarchy. You see, the thing is,
I can
read something, but I can't always pronounce it.
What is it?
It's basically a powerful group of people who believe there's only one way, and they have like a... You know, they're very, very controlling of that one thing. So you could say, like, for example, the oil families in Saudi are oligarchies of oil.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think that's right.
The last thing I Googled was what austerity meant, because I didn't know. And obviously with all the politics going on.
What did it say?
It was all the big words and stuff that is... They don't... Problem with dictionary explanations sometimes is they do it... Like the long way, they go all the way around the houses. Well, I just want, you know, just give me what it means
in simple terms, because otherwise you end up having to look up the words they've used to.
That's what I ended up doing, and now I can't really remember. I know what it is, but I couldn't tell you what it is.
Now, I'm not trying to make you look bad or make you feel bad.
Okay,
I'm just thinking, right, okay, so you've now got that, and you've done the right thing. And this is what I used to say to people: if you don't know something, look it up.
Yeah,
you got it there at your fingertips. You don't have to go through all the Oxford dictionaries and stuff now and go through pages and pages of stuff. You can just type it in and it's there within seconds, and yet X amount of days later you've forgotten it.
Yeah,
like you would a phone number,
until you go to a quiz and then suddenly you remember it.
Honestly,
and you don't know why.
You surprise yourself with what you know.
So are you under the influence of alcohol when you remember these things?
I may have had one or two.
That's the answer then.
So what do you think alcohol does? Do you think it allows you to kind of reach into your memory?
We're coming round. We're going to come round legal highs in a minute, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're going to go full circle.
I don't think it's alcohol that helps you remember. I just think that your brain's like, oh yeah, I know that, and then it goes, that's what it is.
Yeah. Where did I know that from?
Yeah, exactly.
I say to my husband sometimes, my head is full of these weird and wonderful.
Yeah, you remember the things you don't want to remember.
Yes.
Do you know what? You will remember this as well. I guarantee it. Austerity. What would you say the definition of austerity is?
Pulling your horns in, cutting your coat according to your cloth, going through bad times and having to mend and make do type thing.
I love this. Difficult economic conditions created by government measures to reduce public expenditure.
Yeah, that's what I read.
Wow.
Now, I was surprised, like you, that the term government has been added there.
Is that the Oxford...
That is, that's the, when you put in austerity definition, that's the first thing that comes
that's
up.
That's probably what I read there.
Stemness underneath, or above that, is stemness or severity of manner of attitude. But number two is difficult economic conditions created by government measures to reduce public expenditure. So there you go.
That doesn't make a lot of sense, really, to me.
Yeah,
that was never used in any of the mandates in the previous 6 months, was it?
No, it certainly wasn't.
We'll take a break and we'll leave it there. We may come back in a while and continue this conversation, or we might go on to legal highs. But we will be back. And if you want to give us a call, you can, 240-666, or you can email studio@vectisradio.com. We're back after a quick break.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
White Fibre, the island's fastest broadband. But don't just take our word for it. Here's James Pickett from Arriton.
Setting up costs was reasonable. The people who came to do it came when they said they would, and did what they said they'd do. It's fast, and it's a revelation to someone who's had spent 10 years down a one megabit BT line.
Get the island's fastest broadband free for 12 months. Call 240-240.
WhiteFibre.com.
24-month contract required. Fastest speeds available in all cabled areas.
Isle of Wight Feet help people with foot problems and footwear. Make an appointment to see my dad for professional chiropody and podiatry services. He specialises in making orthotic insoles and made-to-measure footwear. Don't put us off and suffer. We're opposite the Conservative Club in Cross Street, open from Tuesday to Saturday from 9 to 5. Telephone 864444 or search iwfeet.co.uk.
KL Learning Centre offers high quality training in real workplaces, giving an authentic working experience. They also offer a functional skills scheme to help with young people's essential maths, English and ICT skills. Get in touch by emailing info@carelearningcentre.co.uk, visit www.carelearningcentre.co.uk or call the centre on 01983 533 993.
Are you wondering what to get people for a present this year? Why not have a family portrait? Ticks all the boxes and it's totally unique. You need Holly Cade Photography. Holly Cade Photography is not just for birthday and Christmas presents. It can be for weddings, parties and much more. Individual jobs can be tailor-made to suit your needs along with reasonable prices. For more details, contact Holly Cade at hotmail.co.uk or visit hollycade.co.uk.
Fretbuzz.net is the place to go for all the latest music reviews, news, photos and more, covering island bands to established acts from across the globe. The guys at Fretbuzz will give you their unique view on the music world. As well as music reviews, Fretbuzz now offer bands and musicians a range of promotional services, from photo shoots, video show reels, to advertising and features on the site. It caters for all budgets and requirements. Just call 07576 138 337 today for more information. So whatever you're looking for, visit us at fret-buzz.net for all your music needs, or find us on Facebook by searching Fretbuzz Music Reviews.
Westridge Golf Centre is the number one place on the Isle of Wight to get into golf. They have a fully covered floodlit golf range to practice your game, with PGA qualified professionals on hand to provide tuition for complete beginners all the way through to the most advanced golfers. Check them out now on www.westridgegolfcentre.co.uk. Westridge Golf Centre in Brading Road, Ryde.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value, and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240.
Now we're back. It's 18 minutes away from one. Don't forget, the Voxes are here at 1 o'clock today, between one and four. Now, we were talking TV habits, and I think what we ought to do is continue with the TV habits and just to sort of chuck in the radio habits as well. Because I was just saying during the commercial break that there is a plan in, I think it's Sweden, Norway, definitely the Scandinavian countries, that are in the process of, they're going to be turning off the FM signal by 2017. Yeah. A bit like what we did with the analogue system. We gave ourselves a few years. They're giving themselves a couple of years. But we apparently are always behind other countries. So there is there probably will be a plan put in place in the next couple of years to turn off the FM signal here in the UK. Because they say that as soon as it becomes, there's more people actually tuning in and listening via... internet rather than FM, when it becomes top heavy, that's when they've got to look at it.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, this government minister has been given the role, and they say he doesn't like the BBC. I think he's been put in to oversee these things, because this is the thing, in this term of office, these are the things that are going to be that are going to come to fruition at some point, because Sweden are going to do it. So, you know, our TV habits are going to change as well as our radio habits, if they're not already, because the technology is changing dramatically. So it is a case of watch this space. But just coming off the back of that, how do we watch, how do we listen to radio? How do you listen to the radio, Josh?
Got a radio at home.
And it's some, right, okay. Right, what kind of radio you got?
Is it digital, internet?
I don't know, it's probably a digital one, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's... I mean, you go back a few years, somebody said you've got digital radio, we wouldn't have had a clue, would we? We really wouldn't have had a clue. It was either medium wave FM radios, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
And that is all going to... I kind of feel sorry for people of a certain age that don't really want to grasp it when it comes down to the old technology. Yeah. I do feel sorry for them.
But it's all cost as well, isn't it? You know, because every time something new happens, you have to update your systems and stuff like that, and it does cost money.
It does. You're absolutely right.
I mean, we've got one of those Pure radios, which is a digital radio and also an internet radio. So right. I can listen to you guys on my radio, which is fantastic, you know, rather than having to stream it through a computer.
Can't go wrong with one of those Pure radios. No, they are decent radios.
Absolutely brilliant.
But that is the way that it's changing. You look in cars now, you've got the cars where, you know, you can actually listen again. You can listen to Vectis radio. In the car, all you need is, you know, an internet connection, which if you've got via your phone, you can then get your phone to talk to the stereo and play your music out through the speakers in your car. And, you
it's
know,
fantastic, isn't it?
Strangely enough, five years ago, roughly around about this time of year, our engineer, Gavin, on the mainland, was going down the M27, is it, into Portsmouth?
Yeah.
He's going down there and actually talking to us whilst he was listening to the radio in the car. So that was 5 years ago. So you just imagine how easy it is now to do those kind of things. I was just thinking about the earlier on we mentioned Apple and we mentioned iTunes.
Yeah.
And I think they've got it somewhere near right, but I think they've made a bit of a boo-boo in the last, when they first kind of started out with the iPods, the iPads. Because certain ones now you can update and certain ones you can't.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
My son had an iPod something or other, and it was obviously more than 5 or 6 years old. It can't get our app on it because it's not up to date, and you can't run the iOS thing. Now, I just wonder, I'm hoping that Apple, all that stuff that you've got now, have you got Apple products, Josh?
iPhone? I've got a Mac, iPhone, iPod, iPad.
Okay, so just say, for instance, in 5 or 6 years' time, if you had the same machinery as what we had 5 or 6 years ago, that is now obsolete for certain things. It can't receive the updates. I'm hoping that in the machinery that you buy now with Apple, that you get to 5 or 6 years down the line and it still can be updated and still receive stuff.
I think they're starting to go that way now.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think the first iPads that you bought, I don't think they have iOS. Is it 7 or 8 we're up to now?
7, I think.
But just imagine that technology on that little iPad, iPod, iPhone, we can now watch TV on it. You know, that's
crazy, isn't it?
Have you got the app on your phone? There's catch up TV.
Yeah,
catch up TV. You can watch TV.
You can get BBC iPlayer.
I've got Four
ITV
on Demand. Yeah, iPlayer.
That's a new. There's a new app for the Four Demand. It's just come out, hasn't it? And there's so I just by chance I looked at my phone and Dame Shirley says she was only joking, so I'm not quite sure. We had you believing you were a Kiss Chase maniac and now she's saying it's only joking and you can't remember it.
No,
you're going to have to get some therapy after this show now,
Dame Shirley. Who's being naughty now?
The TV stuff, catch up TV, All Four it's called now, isn't it? All Four, the actual app for Channel 4. And there's so many other things. There's World TV Plus. Have you checked out World TV Plus?
No.
I think that's a sports one. You can watch football around the world, cricket, so on and so forth.
And I've got a Scrabble app, and I'm playing with my cousin who lives in Bahrain.
A Scrabble app?
Yeah. I just think that's so cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. There was a picture on Facebook the other day of like a phone. So like an iPhone nowadays, you can text, you can use calculator, you can use a camera and all that, and then above the photo of the iPhone there was like a camera separate, there was a big old telephone, there was a calculator,
an address
book, there was a notepad,
a
address book,
all the
and
things.
You just think now that's all in one device.
I mean, I think, you know, because we're an internet station, I had, when my son was in New Zealand he was listening to some music. Will listens in Bahrain, my cousin in Ali lives in, she listens in Hong Kong, you know.
It's amazing, isn't it?
That side of it is wonderful, isn't it?
Technology is a great thing. I just think it's made us slightly lazy with our mindset. And I think it's just I don't know, if we say to ourselves, it leaves us free to think about other things. Yeah, that's if that's what we want to tell ourselves to make it feel right, then yeah, okay, do it. But I do believe it's made us lazy remembering things.
It might have made us lazy, but one of the things it has done is help me with my curiosity, because if I want to know something, I just tap it in and find the answer.
Yeah. No?
So I might be lazy, but I'm a bit more well-informed.
Yeah,
lazy.
We're probably more knowledgeable than we are.
Yeah, definitely.
What about, just say, for instance, if you had to remember a number off the... You haven't got your phone with you, you have to remember a number because you remember.
I'm not too bad with numbers.
Because we're going to come full swing in a minute and we'll talk about passwords, which is what we mentioned earlier on. And we reckon that we must all have... When I say all, I mean, I would imagine the average person that is probably going to have, without even realising it, they probably think, oh, about a dozen maybe at the most.
Yeah.
But you probably times that by four and you're somewhere near it. So you probably got around 50 different passwords.
I don't have 50 different passwords. I have probably about 12 different passwords, but I've got at least 49 different accounts that need passwords.
Yeah. So, but there are some people out there that would have a password for every single one. And you think, oh, goodness me, what's...
How are you supposed
to remember that? You've written it down, you put it in a file, and it's got a password protect on it.
Yeah.
So you've got to remember the password to access all the rest of the details.
That's true. Actually, I've got a blog that I'm writing in, and I've password protected that, and I haven't written that down, so I probably can't ever get into it again.
Someone will hack it and tell you.
Yeah,
So we reckon it's about 40 or 50 then?
Yeah, I'd say so.
About 40 or 50. How many do you reckon you've got?
What, passwords?
Yeah.
I reckon I've probably got about 4 or 5 passwords.
But
I've probably got probably close to 50
accounts
or whatever that I've got to enter that password in.
What happens to those accounts that you don't close down but you just don't use anymore?
They probably get shut down.
Do they?
I would imagine so, yeah.
Who would shut them down?
The person who owns... So say if it was an email account, a Windows Live account, then Windows would say, oh, this account hasn't been active for this many months, years or whatever, and they'd probably just shut it down.
But I can still access an email account that I only do once a year, because I opened it about 20 years ago.
But you still access it regularly.
Yeah, but I don't pay for it. I don't, you know.
Is it a Hotmail one?
It's a Sky one, a very old Sky one.
Mm.
But you still go on it though.
Yeah.
So.
Well, no, about once every year, maybe 2 years. I ain't been on there for about 2.5, 3 years.
I don't know, but I'm just assuming that's probably what they do.
There was I tell you what, it's fascinating, because now you're thinking, right, they shut it down. Who shuts it down? Where is it? Where is this thing? There was a film we watched recently. It was one of those nights where we just wanted to watch a film that we didn't have to take too much, you know, just let it roll.
Yeah.
And Cameron Diaz was in it, and some guy, and they made a video of them, having noughties.
Yeah.
Have you seen this?
I've heard of it, yeah.
I think it's just called Sex Tape.
Sex Tape, yeah.
It's very funny. It's very family-orientated. And I can't... And I'm trying to work out how...
I know where you've done
how,
with this, actually.
But they did. They made this video of themselves. He used his iPad.
Yeah.
And then he gave the iPad away... And then it went live. Somebody had posted it up there and went live.
What they
live.
Did is they connected the video to their own iTunes account, and then they gave out iPads as presents.
Yeah.
And the iPads were connected to this iPad. So the video was on every single one.
So then it went viral. It went, you know,
yeah.
I'm guessing it went viral. And they said what they had to do was they had to go down and break into this place where all these computers were.
Where the servers were.
And delete it. And obviously, it was Jack Black that owned the servers. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but he just sort of said, "Well, you didn't have to break in. You only had to give me a call, and I would have deleted them. It was not a problem." So it just made me wonder how it all works, because we took it for granted. There's our computer. There's loads of other computers, but in the way is someone that owns millions and millions of computers with great big brain cells and so on and so forth. Well, where are they?
But it's like cloud technology, isn't it? I think everyone thinks of this huge cloud, but in reality, there's warehouses full of servers.
Yeah.
You know, and they're there.
That's the cloud.
Yeah, that's your cloud. Yeah. And actually, I think, you know, I'm slightly suspicious of these, and I think I'd rather just have my own external hard drive rather than give it to somebody else for their external hard drive.
Yeah, I never upload any, pictures or any personal files on the cloud. Never.
So I just
music I do, but
I just wonder. We're going to go full swing again. You've got all these servers and all this information that is at somebody's fingertips. Just say, for instance, that little trip you went to the dump Saturday afternoon back in 1987. Mm. We've got a record of that somewhere sat on one of these servers. And do you know what I mean? That's kind of scary and quite worrying.
But
isn't
also,
it?
You think about the value of that knowledge that is held on those servers. I mean, I think we're going to see, you know, different kinds of cybercrime now when people are hacking into those servers, you know, and potentially taking lots and lots of information.
Never thought of it like that. Mm. Puts you right off going on the internet, doesn't it? Doesn't it?
There's a film out at the moment called Unfriended, which is all about Skype and what's gone on. I think it's a horror film.
Is it?
Yeah.
Unfriended. Is it as a cinema or?
Yeah, I think it's just come out recently, and it's all to do with like Skype and stuff.
All right. Okay. I'm gonna just gonna check
someone
that.
Someone could just hack into your computer and watch you all the time.
Ooh. I'm just having a look at that because that sounds like a.
It can happen. It absolutely can happen, and to the point where I know this sounds ridiculously paranoid, but I always switch my webcam off when I'm online.
Makes sense.
Does it?
Yeah.
You know, because if you're getting up and you're, you know, in the middle of the night and you haven't got a lot of clothes on and stuff like that.
Scary. So I never really think about the webcam.
Webcam
on your
computer or your laptop, because if someone's got a bot on there, they could be looking at everything you do.
A what on there?
A bot. A robot. A special kind
of... It's like a program.
A program.
Right, okay.
So, you know, like, cookies get attached. So yeah. The next thing you go on Facebook and suddenly, you know, you've been looking at a Sleep Easy bed and suddenly these people sell Sleep Easy beds, you know, blah, 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 blah. That's a bot. So, yeah, it's quite scary, Ian.
I've learned something now. I'm worried about my bot now. Now, Unfriended comes out. It's out now. Yeah. And how long do you consider a film to be? How long should it be before it becomes a film?
Unless it's the most amazing film ever. Anything over about an hour and a half, I'm kind of resenting.
See, I find that too short now.
Do you?
I like a good two and a half hour film.
But I fall asleep.
I've never fallen asleep in a film.
Oh, Lord of the Rings. I've never managed to watch one of them.
Oh, amazing.
Go around my wife's, you know, watch it with her. One of those films that I really cannot be bothered with.
I tried for the boys' sake, because they all loved it so much, but I just fell asleep all the time.
1 hour and 22 minutes. I just look at that and think, hang on a minute. I was always like brought up on Carry On films, which is always an hour and a half. Norman Wisdom
minimum.
Films. Hour and a half. A film is an hour and a half. Hour and 22 minutes, that's just a drama.
It's a long programme, isn't it?
It's a long programme, yeah. So that's so Unfriended.
What if it's 3 hours long?
If it's 3 hours, that's an epic. That is an
I
epic,
think that's
isn't
too
it?
Too long.
That is way
too
long.
2 hours 40 is my limit.
See, my wife will tell you this. Whenever we watch it, trying to find a film for us to watch, I don't look at who's in it. I look at how long is it. That's it. Because if it's too long, that's it. There's some films at the moment that's on Sky and I look at it and I think, 3 hours. I'm going to have to be in a really good mood to sit still for that long.
I mean, when Seb comes to stay with us, he loves films. He loves the shoot-em-up films. And so many of them are like 2.5 hours long. And I feel like I've been battered afterwards, you know, assaulted.
Way too long.
It is for me. I'm getting too old.
Hey, look, that'll just about do it for today's Lunchtime Social Debate. We went from here to there, and we went all full circle.
Fantastic.
So thank you for being there, Bex.
Really enjoyed it.
See you next week. Yeah. And lovely to see you. Lovely to have you back.
It's good to be back.
See you next week.
Adopted son.
Yeah.
Have a great week.